The Chicago Bulls cannot stop the three-point shooting of the Milwaukee Bucks and lose their first preseason game. We'll talk about it all and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. And yeah, the Bulls got their ass kicked today by the Bucks, man. The Bucks absolutely lit the Chicago Bulls up from three. And there was just nothing the Bulls could do about it. They weathered the storm pretty well in the first half, despite the Milwaukee Bucks at that point in time having 24 more points than the Chicago Bulls from the three-point line. The way that the Bulls were able to battle that was getting to the free throw line themselves, in which they had a nice number of free throws, way more than the Milwaukee Bucks. But unfortunately, in the second half of the game, the Bulls just didn't have any answer. Every time the Bulls got the lead down by a little bit, the Milwaukee Bucks came right back, and the Bulls just could not get enough stops when it mattered the most to be able to win this game. Now, the thing that for the Bulls and the benefit, the Bulls got to the free throw line 36 times today and hit 26 of those, shooting 72%. They were shooting almost 62% from three leading into this game. So at least that was an area of improvement for the Bulls in this game. But as much as the Bulls have lived and died by the three-point shot over the early part of, well, all of last season, they just couldn't hit threes today. 11 for 41, only 26% from three, whereas the Milwaukee Bucks were 20 of 48 for 41% from three. And that's really what doomed the Chicago Bulls in this game. You cannot have a three-point discrepancy that large and just let it go for the entirety of the game. And so, unfortunately, the Bulls just they weren't able to get it together enough, man. And while the Milwaukee Bucks only technically hit 7 three-pointers, I believe, in the entirety of the second half of the game, the Bulls could not get enough stops at that point. It just is what it was. And when the Bulls had their all bench lineup out there at that point, they kind of just packed it in. Javon Carter did not have, you know, follow-up shooting. What he did, he was 3 of 12 for today. He tried to bail the Bulls out in that garbage time like he has so many other times before, but he couldn't do it. Dalen Terry did get ejected in this game as well for throwing a punch. I'm sorry. I can't get with that. He didn't throw a punch. It wasn't a punch. He went to grab somebody, which is bad enough as it is, right? And some people could say maybe that was enough to potentially get ejected anyway. But, you know, they quote-unquote ejected him for throwing a punch that he never actually threw. So, you know, that's my take on the game. But in this game, for what it's worth, Giannis did have 13 points. Miles Turner had 19 points. He went 5 of 8 from the three-point line, did Miles Turner. And, yeah, he really killed the Chicago Bulls. Miles Turner had 19. Kyle Kuzma also had 19 off the bench for the team. He went 7 of 15 from the field. And, you know, Modest Bouzelis, he had 19 points. You got a 22 points from Ayo Dosunmu, who I'm telling y'all right now, and like I said, it's not about the win or the loss in preseason per se. It's about the process. It's about what you see. And Ayo Dosunmu is ready to go. I'm telling you guys right now, for all the people who were shit-talking Ayo Dosunmu this offseason, all the people saying things like Ayo Dosunmu needs to go, those type of things, Ayo's about to have a big year for the Chicago Bulls. Now, this is also a contract year, so him having a big year does not necessarily mean he's going to end up staying in Chicago. But we shall see what's going to happen there. But overall, like, Ayo stood out today. Ayo's energy was just so different. Every time he touched the ball, basically, he made something good happen. He was 8 of 12 from the field, 5 of 5 from the free throw line, 1 of 3 from a three-pointer. On the top of those 22 points, he had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, no turnovers from Ayo Dosunmu at all in this game. For what it's worth as well, the Bulls kept the turnovers down in this game. Only 10 turnovers as a team. Keep in mind, we had over 20 and then 19 in the following game. We cut the turnovers yet again by 9 in this game, got it down to 10. But, you know, Ayo had a big game. Modest Bouzelis had 19 points. He was probably the best starter today. You know, he had 19 points, 4 rebounds. He guarded Giannis. Didn't do too well of a job guarding Giannis at some times, but he was 6 of 11 from the field, 2 of 6 from three-point line. He did get to the free throw line 5 times himself, where he was 5 of 5. Josh Giddey had himself a Josh Giddey-type night. 24 minutes, he was 4-7 from the field, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 block from Josh Giddey. No turnovers from him either for his 14 points. You love to see that. Trey Jones, 1 of 2 from the field, 6 of 8 from 3-point line. He had 8 points today, 6 from Nikola Vucevic. Vooch was trash. Let me be clear here. Nikola Vucevic was god-awful today. And there is no ifs, ands, buts, or anything in between that. Vooch was bad today. 3 of 10, 0 for 4 from 3-point line, 0 of 2 from the free throw line. He did have 9 rebounds, 3 assists. But Vooch was bad today. Isaac Okoro tried. He didn't shoot the ball well, but he had some really good defensive moments and moments attacking the rim. He finished with 7 points, 1 steal, 1 block in this game. And then there was really no other notable performances. P. Will. I did forget about P. Will. He had 10 points today. He went 4-7 from the field, 8 rebounds from P. Will, 5 assists from P. Will as well, and 1 steal. So P. Will had himself a solid stat line coming off the bench, 23 minutes. He was the second highest, most played player coming off the bench for the Bulls. Zach Collins had 8 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. But outside the stat sheet stuff, the Bulls just – it wasn't just – they didn't get the necessary stops when they needed to. And that is something that has been different in the prior two games. In the prior two games, despite the Bulls not necessarily playing the best, I felt comfortable in saying that they got the stops when they needed to, right? They ratcheted it up defensively when they needed to the most. Today, that didn't happen. And it didn't happen at all. And it was actually pretty bad for the team today. So those things were just weren't good for the team. It was evident that it wasn't going to work for the team today, and they just got to tighten that part up. If they can get that part together, I think things could look better for them. But as much thought I heard the dog. As much as the Bulls have talked about physicality and defense and stuff like that this offseason, this was one of those games where they didn't get enough of it when they needed it, right? I won't say that they completely lacked physicality. I won't say that they didn't have some nice defensive stretches, because they did. The Bulls had some nice defensive stretches where they were able to get stops and get the lead down to 2, get the lead down to 4, but they just weren't able to ever grab the lead back in this game. And because of that, like the momentum never fully shifted in the Bulls' favor. And that's what you need in a game where you give up this amount of 3-point shots. You need some momentum to shift in your favor. And it just didn't happen. The Bulls only had a lead for 2 minutes and 44 seconds in this game. That's it. That's it. And when they had the lead, it was only by three points. You look at the Milwaukee Bucks, they had the lead for 44 minutes in this game. They had the largest lead that they had was 12, and that was to start out the game. They went on a 19-7 run to start out the game. Both teams had 107 possessions, so there's no difference about that. There's something that Billy Donovan has harped on this training camp period in preseason, is that you don't want to give up too many more possessions. And I guess for what it's worth, the Bulls did only lose the game by 6 points, and we were missing Kobe White, but, you know, they just got to tighten some things up. But this preseason, like I always say, it's about the process. It's not necessarily just about the results. In the Bulls' favor, they got to the free throw line much more than they have in prior. 36 times getting to the free throw line. We had 62 points in the paint, which was really good as well. 17 fast break points, only 6 second chance points in this game. And that's a place where the Bulls have done pretty good this season as far as offensive rebounds and getting second chance points. There wasn't a lot of offensive rebounds for either team. The Bucks had 9 offensive rebounds. The Bulls had 6. So, you know, it wasn't a huge discrepancy there. This game came down to who attacked the defensive boards more. And the Bulls just did not do enough to try to win this game in those areas. So, you know, it is what it is. It sucks. But it's preseason. And this is about learning. It's about the opportunity that you get there. Noah Essanay had himself a stretch of being really active on both sides of the ball. He didn't have the big scoring, which I'm not looking for Noah Essanay necessarily in his rookie year either. And you just got to look at those things. But let's see how you guys are feeling about this game. I want to get into some of the comments here. DJ Reese B said the ref's trash. Like that ejecting Dalen Terry, and this just isn't like for me to be a homer or anything like that, because I would say it if Dalen needed to be deserved to be ejected. Saying that he threw a punch, if you go back and look at that highlight, there's no way in hell that anybody should consider that a punch. Dalen Terry didn't throw a punch. He didn't throw a punch. He went to grab somebody, which that was after his face got grabbed. So if we're gonna call that a punch, then Touring should have got ejected as well. Javon Carter can't shoot during garbage time. Get that man off this team. I mean, I wish it was that easy, bro. Man, Buddy punched Miller. That was hit back for the screens earlier. Who punched him? Who you saying punched him? Chicago Bulls need some consistent three-point shooters. I wish they had Seth Curry, but Golden State picked him up. Well, you got to keep in mind, Kevin Huerter, gone. Kobe wasn't playing in this game. So, you know, considering we lost this game by 6 points, and the three-point discrepancy was as much as what it was, if this was in the regular season, would it have gone any different? I can't say, because Giannis, it's not like Giannis went off either, right? So, you know, we'll see. Prince should have been ejected for real. I agree with that. He definitely should have been ejected. By the definition of how you ejected Daylen, Taurean should have been, he should have been ejected as well, because they did the same thing. Alonzo's free throws came from personal, what? Personal file? Shay. It's preseason, bro. We can't have you misspelling this early in preseason, bro. Proofread, get somebody to edit it for you. I don't know what to say, bro. Come on, get them typos together. Bro, they had to be the worst officiating I've seen coming down the wire, but they missed a lot of shots. Yes, they did miss a lot of shots, too. And open shots at that, for sure. This is okay considering no Kobe or Huerter. The D was unserious. Can't give the Bucks uncontested threes. Yeah, those threes killed us today. Javon Carter is generally one of the worst players I've ever witnessed. Big Super. What that's your name? I've never paid attention to your username. I'm actually super optimistic about where this team will be with more chemistry built up. Well, I mean, that's one of the benefits. Like, the only two new pieces on this team are Isaac Okoro and Noah Essengay. So, you know, hopefully you're going to be able to build off. They're building off that chemistry they finished last season with, and we'll see. I know Patrick Williams had 10 points, but I believe that he struggles between knowing when to defend and knowing when to look for a shot. Well, considering those two things happen on opposite sides of the ball, if that's what's happening there, he needs to get his shit together. Why can't we draft guys who were scorers in college and develop them? Not enough offensively skilled guys down the stretch. Well, keep in mind, we're missing Kobe. We're missing Kevin Huerter. Those are two guys that can definitely score the basketball. People makes me so angry sometimes, man. He should be a better player. I mean, he has all of it. He has all of it. All the raw talent, and that's what makes it more frustrating, because you look at him and you're like, bro, like it's just aggression. Like, the thing that hurts P. Will the most is just what's in between his ears, man. That's the thing that's hurting him the most. Still, if Terry was ejected, Prince should have been too, seeing that he had his hands around man's neck and took a swing too. Exactly. The ball head hole sold the game. Other than that, I'm excited about the season. Go Bulls. I mean, listen, it's preseason, right? And like I said, I didn't get too far up, not going to get too far down about the good or the bad. But we are going to evaluate it. And so in the evaluation today, just comes down to you need to get more stops. You have to get more stops and key stops at that. And where the Bulls lacked at was getting stops where it mattered the most. Every time the Bulls, and keep in mind, the Bulls were home today. Every time they were close to grabbing that momentum, the Bucks took it right back. They took the momentum right back. The Bulls have to be better about that. They have to be better about that. Agreed. Io's been balling, bro. What he's averaging, 16 points per game, at least since the start of pre. I'm loving it. Didn't know Modest had that, seeing the game late. Oh, yeah, Modest had like 12 points by the end of the first quarter, I believe. Something like that. Like, Modest had himself. Hold on. I can look for you. Give me 1 second. Let's do the quarter-by-quarter breakdown. Modest Muzilis had, it was 12 points by the end of the first half. That's what it was. Yeah. So, I mean, listen, Modest was balling today, man. And it's good to see that, especially considering he was also guarding Giannis for a lot of, not every possession, because they put Okoro on him. Sometimes they put P. Will on him when P. Will came into the game. We did have some Modest and P. Will moments today out there together as well. I would like to see, I don't know if the advanced site that I use updates for preseason. I would like to see what the Bulls were. Give me 1 second, y'all. What were they today with Modest and P. Will on the floor together? Give me 1 second. Look that up real quick. On off Will. Modest. So, this is promising. Hold on, let me put this up. I can't share it because I have it up on my second computer. Okay, so Modest and P. Will today played 9 minutes and 52 seconds together. In that, they had a plus-minus of plus 6, a net rating of plus 15, an offensive rating of 129, and a defensive rating of 132. That's not bad at all. We played with a pace of 112 when Modest and P. Will on the court together. Listen, I'm not saying that P. Will needs to be a starter. I want to be clear. In no way am I saying that to say they need to start together. But I will say with Modest definitely taking a step up defensively and P. Will having moments of more aggression, not consistently. It hasn't been that yet. If you can get minutes of...
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
P. Will and Modest together and it end up working out for you, that could be something that you go, because you look at the length that you have all over the court at that point. With Modest and P. Will on the court, and if you have, let's say, Okoro out there, even Zach Collins at the center. Let's say Zach Collins at the center, because I don't know if they'll play Okoro at the shooting guard. So if you can get away with 7 to 8 minutes a game with Modest and P. Will and Zach Collins out there at center, because Zach Collins is going to be able to defend the rim better than Vooch. So then you can switch things when it comes to P. Will and Modest. If you can do that consistently and have some solid production in that, that goes to playing with more size, right? It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think it's something that you can explore. But P. Will got to keep up the way that he plays. Now, I want to look at, Modest and Okoro started together. Let's see what that looks like. Give me 1 second. So minutes with Isaac Okoro out there. See, Isaac Okoro and Modest Bouzelis today played 17 minutes together. We're negative 12, a negative 28 net rating, and an offensive rating of only 100. So I'm just saying, and I don't think that's going to continue. Once you have Kobe out there, it's going to change that balance. But it is something to just look at. That's all I'm saying. It is something to look at. And that's what basketball is about, is finding little wrinkles in things that can give you a little bit of advantage. And we'll see. BKR Sports, shout out to BKR. It's just popping in to send some love your way. Appreciate what you do for the Bulls. And I back you as always. Been traveling the world all year, so I haven't been in here as much, but always back you, my bro. When you coming back stateside, BKR? Allow me to shake the table a little bit by saying Kobe won't be the number one option. I say that because just about everyone has made scoring a priority. No, Kobe's still going to be the number one option. He's still going to be the number one scoring option because, yeah, while everybody can do, and you want that, you want everybody on the team to do a little scoring, Kobe's still your best scorer, right? So you're still going to play off him. Not only is he going to be your number one option scoring-wise, because he's still your best individual scorer, you still need isolation moments, and it's either going to be him or Vooch in those isolation moments. And he's your best shooter. So I think that Kobe's still going to be your number one option, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be all just about Kobe scoring when he's on the court, because Kobe can also facilitate off his drives, which is something he does really good at. I look at it as though the game was pretty much tied when Billy decided to throw in the back end of the bench out there with like 4 minutes left. I'd have to go back and look at that minute by minute breakdown. I'm not even going to act like I can remember out there if we were tied at that point in time. But hey, Carter sucks. De-hooting without thinking. De-hooting. No, but listen, Javon Carter, he knows what he's out there for. Javon Carter in garbage time is out there to be THT. Like, it is what it is. He's not going to play a lot once the season is going. What's in that cup? Water and my Mio Squirts, whatever it's called. The energy one, because I still got to do another show after this. I think Bucks are a bad matchup with the Bulls, but they're also kind of a new team and pretty okay on the perimeter. We definitely need to come out with a game plan next time. Well, I mean, it's preseason, Dan. Like, I don't think that Billy Donovan was, like, scheming to run traps or anything over the last, like, 6 minutes of the game. If this was a regular season game, we have Kobe, we have Kevin Huerter out there. I think you see a lot of different lineups there towards the end of it, personally. So, Noah, in my opinion, if he gets the chance, the season to guard superstars would be the reason he gets minutes. In big games, his defense is great. He moves his feet great for a big. I mean, look, Noah moves like a wing. That's why he's listed as a small four. Like, Noah is really raw, but I agree with you. Like, if Noah can find a way to crack the rotation because of his defense, regardless of what it is, whatever he's guarding, if he can find a way to crack the rotation because of his defense, I think things would be pretty good for him. I really do. I think things will ultimately work out pretty well for him. Bathor Payne says, all I know is while the P-Will talk is here, that motherfucker is huge. I'm almost willing to say he is stronger than Giannis based on what I see, but you can't just muscle folks. Shame he is still a project. I don't think he's stronger than Giannis. I don't think that. He may look stronger than Giannis, but I don't think he's stronger than Giannis. But it may just also be that he doesn't apply himself, Smokey. That could be very well the problem there also. Javon Carter is 3-16. Wow, that's very impressive for him. That's funny. That's hilarious. Hey, so what I'm trying to say is majority of our free throws came from us getting personal fouled. Ceases attacking the basket. Shay, my little brother, bro. That's all bad, Shay. I don't know why you can't spell simple words, bro. Last time I seen Carter was at a neighborhood park shooting around. Clearly that didn't help. Listen, that boy don't need to shoot around the park no more. That boy need to shoot somewhere else. Bucks starters beat the Bucks starters, but Ion P. Will plus minus help battle back. I mean, it's not just based off plus minus, but the Bulls starters got out to another slow start, and that's gonna affect the plus minus. Like, that slow start that when we keep getting to slow starts like that, like, that's why you have to. That's why I always zero in on that as one of my things. You cannot continue to get out to slow starts like that. And I don't know what the Bulls have to do to avoid that. Now, for what it's worth, Kobe hasn't played a single game this preseason. And maybe that helps. We haven't had Kevin Huerter in two out of the three preseason games. Maybe that helps some with the shooting, right? But you got to find a way to avoid the slow starts. You have to. And as much as, like, Io is playing really well off the bench, I tell you what, if the slow starts continue into the season, I know Okoro is a great defender, but he has offered us little to nothing on offense. I consider starting Io Dosunmu. I'm not saying right now. I'm not even saying you got to make that change at the start of the season. But if the slow starts continue once the season does start, if we're 10, 12 games in, and slow starts continue to plague this team, I consider starting Io. Because I think if you lose anything defensively, which I don't know if you do, you gain quite a bit offensively from having Io out on the court. Now, it makes your offense weaker coming off the bench, but that may be worth it to avoid slow starts. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. We shall see. What's the word, Drip? So far, mixed bag through the first couple of games in preseason. Kobe will be the number one option, but I'm curious to see how Kobe and Giddey will gel more in year two. You're right, and that's why you heard Kobe say things like in media day that he wants to play off ball more. He worked on playing off ball. He wants to shoot, you know, better catch and shoot percentage, because if he does those things, that does make him a more natural pairing with Josh Giddey. And we've seen that happen before. Kurt Heimer completely changed his game to be more of a seamless fit with Derrick Rose in the backcourt. So it's possible. And keep in mind, Kurt Heimer was also, what, 5-6 years into his career at that point in time. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. I hope that they can. And if that does happen, that's going to help tremendously just make things more seamless here as an offense. And that's what we want to get to. So let's hope that it can happen. Let's hope that it can. For series, these preseason games were actually pretty rough and physical, but seeing these Bulls competing keeps higher hopes this season. Listen, the Bulls, like, the one thing that I've always said, and I'll say when it happens and call myself out, whatever, I've always talked about how Billy Donovan says shit and then we don't see it. For so far, the last two offseasons, last offseason, pace, three-point shooting. We came into the season and it legitimately changed. Physicality, defense was the buzzwords this season. And so far, we are a more physical team and the defense has been better at spots, right? Now, I need to see consistency, but it's hard to see consistency when you're going 15 players into your bench, right? So we'll see how that goes once the season starts. But it looks like for another year, the Bulls have made some serious changes to their play style. And let's see if it pays off and helps us play better in the season. Akurl, I hope, stays out of foul trouble because we don't need bonus for our opponents frequently. That's a great point, Rob. That's a great point. Carter wouldn't catch a single body with the switch. Like, Javon Carter's not going to be in the rotation once it starts. It's not. All I want to see is every guy healthy on this roster and evaluate the data properly and make decisions and keep trying to get better and win into the playoffs consistently. Well, I mean, that is the goal, bro. That is the goal. Hayes, I've been saying these last three games, Io needs to start. Akurl should primarily when we need a defensive push off the bench, I guess is what you mean. Taurus, I get what you're saying in that. And in no way am I saying you're wrong for how you feel there. But here's the thing. At least in my mind, they're bringing Io off the bench because, listen, Okoro can start, but that doesn't mean he's gonna finish every game. That doesn't mean he's going to play the most minutes. But I think you want that defensive effort out there to balance, and then you want some offense coming off your bench. At least that's just my rationale of it. And I think that should be fine. Once you get Kobe back and you have more offense into your starting lineup, I think that it'll be fine with Okoro being out there on the starting lineup. I think Io is going to be the finisher, and that's perfectly fine as well. But if when Kobe comes back and the season starts and then the Bulls are, if they're still getting off the slow starts, I think at that point you got to look at it and say, all right, Okoro, we tried it. Thank you. But we're still gonna play minutes. We're going to bring you off the bench. I think you got to try to start Kobe at that point. But, again, we're ways off from it getting to that point yet. We still got to evaluate some things, and we'll see how things go. Do you think the better fit for Dosunmu would be as a starter or coming off the bench? Because I think we can be very flexible with rotations. Keeping Trey Jones was the right move, in my opinion. I kind of just talked about that. I kind of just answered that question. If it didn't answer your question, please let me know. I do like that Billy is starting to realize you can't be playing guys over 8-minute stretches consistently with high pace because guys are going to get injured, but regular season, we'll see. Yeah, right now it's preseason. I get what you're getting in that. We'll see if Billy... I don't know if Billy's going to keep it that way once the regular season starts. I can understand why Kurt Heinrich isn't a preseason staple showing Bulls players how to get over. Listen, very rarely, I need everybody to understand, and very rarely in any NBA franchises are players coming back to be coaches for the team to help teach players anything. And I also think Kurt Heinrich is teaching or coaching in a high school somewhere. If I'm not mistaken, he's doing that. Maybe it's a junior college. So he's not from Chicago. Kirk Heinrich is living his life, man. Sorry for the typos that make sense. Oh, you're good. Billy played the double bigs tonight combined with double smalls. Yeah, I mean, does that ruin the double bigs? Like we'll see what happens, man. Overall, rotations are weird in preseason. I'm not going to look too much into the rotations in preseason right now because I think they're going to drastically change. Well, not drastically. I think we kind of know who our main guys in the rotation are going to be. But I think the balance of when and where guys come in at, that's going to drastically change during the regular season. And you're going to see longer stretches from players. You're going to see different combinations because you're not going as deep into the bench. I think those things are going to come as the season goes on. So look out for that. Let's see. Shay, true. Okoro isn't impressing me much, though. Offensively, I'll give him a chance. Offensively, Okoro has been trash. Like, objectively, I think that that's fair. Like, he's had some moments, right? But and I will say this: he attacked the rim a lot more than I thought that he would when we got him over from Cleveland, right? So we'll see. And I'm not going to make a determination on a player just based off preseason. I definitely think he's going to start the season, though, and I think he's going to start over Kevin Huerter. I think Io's going to come off the bench. But if I'm the Bulls, like I said, I'm monitoring that for the first 10 or 15 games. And if we're not getting what we want, then I would look at moving Io into the starting lineup. In about 3 years from now, Modest and Noah are going to be a problem for the rest of the league. They have great potential. They have amazing potential. And reportedly, they have the right mindsets to maximize on that potential. But it is just potential right now. So we'll see how much of that turns into like realized skill and consistently for the Bulls. But it's promising. I like both these guys. I like what they bring. And I like the skill sets that they have. So we'll see how that turns out. A prime Joe Kanoa is exactly who you need for this team. Exactly who you need for this team. His passing out the high post, his shot blocking, his defense, his ability to switch on the guards. A prime Joe Kanoa on this team would literally make this team a top five seed in the East. Period. That's also how good Joe is, but that's how much that skill set helps provide something for the Bulls. So that's my opinion. But all right, y'all, I got to get ready to wrap it up. Got to get ready to go do Locked On Bulls. So if you guys want to continue the conversation, please head over there. But thank you guys for tuning in. You guys can follow us at Bull Central Pod. For the people that are watching on Instagram and on TikTok, go over to YouTube, type in Chicago Bull Central, not Bull Central. That's a different person. Chicago Bull Central. Type that in. Go over there, hit the subscribe button on YouTube. Help us get to our goal of 30,000 subscribers by the end of the season. We're going to thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. Send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullCentralPod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and or voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I liked in every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.